And so, my brothers and sisters of this 5:30 liturgy, I've been telling Father Randy all day about you. He's nervous. This fourth week of Lent is extraordinary. We have John Allen coming. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about him later, but he is one of the great, trying to make some sense out of this great church of ours. He's the man, and he's going to be with us for 3 days this week, so we have an extraordinary opportunity over the next three evenings to really sort out a lot of the issues that we face in a very enlightened place that this man will bring to us for our mission, for our retreat. Then at the end of the week, we have this incredible religious education congress which fills our spirit and our love, and I hope so many of you will come to that great event in Anaheim because it's the best thing in our archdiocese, best thing we do in the great church of Los Angeles. But to begin this week, Sunday, Father Randy Campos, who is a classmate of our good friend and associate pastor Tim Klosterman. Randy was at St. Thomas Parish in South Central Los Angeles and then went on to the seminary and has been working in two very great parishes in the Archdiocese. He's pastor now of a parish in Bell Gardens, St. Gertrude, and he calls it St. Gertrude the Great. So we welcome him to St. Monica the Great. But I'm going to have you welcome him in just a minute. But before we do, I just want to tell you that across the diocese, we each year have this great privilege of supporting each other. We have so many parishes that schools and parishes would not open their doors without Together in Mission. And we, on the other hand, would not survive as a community if we were not in league and in connection with them and not supporting them by our love, our prayer, and our gift and blessing. So it is an extraordinary night. You'll love Randy. He's got a great story for all you young folks especially. And in a special way tonight, I would ask you to give this good man a great St. Monica's welcome. Randy Compton.
Thank you, and thank you, Monsignor, for such a great, very humbling introduction. As Monsignor says, my name is Father Randy Campos. I'm the administrator pro tem at St. Gertrude the Great Parish in the city of Bell Gardens. And Monsignor invited me here to share my experience with you with Together in Mission. And to do that, I'll share a little bit of my own story of how God has touched me through Together in Mission. To begin with, I am the last of nine children. I have five brothers and three sisters. My parents are now in heaven with the Lord, but my brothers and sisters are very united, and we still live in the love of God. Thanks be to God. Growing up, I attended public schools. I was not a Catholic school student, but I graduated from public school, went on to community college, but at the same time working full-time. I worked for the United States Postal Service as a mail carrier for about 7 years and going to school part-time. It was during that time that I felt a call to the priesthood, and I wasn't sure how to answer that call. Eventually, I made a decision to quit the postal service and go to the seminary full time. Thus, I ended up getting my bachelor's degree in philosophy and graduating from the seminary college. During that time, I learned a lot, of course, about philosophy and about myself and about the church. I guess I went to the seminary in the beginning very idealistic and somewhat naive. And during my time at the seminary, I saw a human side of the church that I wasn't ready to, experience or understand. And eventually did not go on to the graduate school. I didn't go on to get my master's degree in theology and get ordained. I left the seminary. And I left with bitterness and some sadness, thinking that I would never go back to the seminary. Eventually, I went back to the post office to work for a few months, but it just didn't, it wasn't the same anymore, and so I needed to find something else. Eventually, I got hired by a nonprofit organization. It's the American Association of Retired Persons. Most people know it by AARP. And I worked there, and I really enjoyed it there. I liked that job. And unfortunately, they were going to move my department to Washington, D.C., and I did not want to leave California to go back east, so I knew I was going to have to look for something else. But during that time also, I had a bitterness that I was carrying with me in regards to the church. I never really lost my faith in God, but I did lose my faith in the church. And because of that experience, I didn't want to do anything for the church. I did not want to work for her, and I was barely holding on and going to Mass. So when I would go to Mass during the week at my home parish, we have some wonderful Irish nuns that are there. And when they saw me, they would say, "Randy, we haven't seen you in a while. How are you?" "I'm good, sister, thank you." Are you working right now?" I go, "Yes, sister, I am." "Well, Randy, have you ever thought of teaching?" I said, "No, sister, I haven't." "Would you like to be a teacher?" "No, sister, I wouldn't." "Well, I think you'd be a wonderful teacher, Randy." And I go, "Well, thank you, sister, I appreciate that, but I'm fine, thank you very much." "Why wouldn't you want to be a teacher?" I go, "Well, sister," I go, "I just don't have patience for kids. I don't know." And then in my own education history, I never really liked school very much. I don't think I'd be a very good teacher. "Oh, we think you'd be a great teacher. You should give us your resume." "Okay, sister, I'll give you my resume." But I never did. It was a few weeks later, because every time I go to Mass, they'd catch me. Somehow, I'd be walking back to my car, "Randy!" And I'd be, "Oh!" Eventually, I gave the sisters my resume. And not so much because I wanted them to find me a job, but just to pacify them and say, "There you go, sister. Do whatever you want with it." In the meantime, I go back east to Washington, D.C. for some training for AARP. And I come back after 2 weeks, and I have messages on my answering machine from various Catholic schools wanting to interview me for a teaching position. I'm like, "This is for real." And I go, "Those sisters." So I thought, well, I really don't want to work for the Catholic Church. I want nothing to do with her. It pains me to say that today, but it was true at that time. And I said, "Well, maybe I'll just do it for a little bit until I find something else." And so I started going on these interviews and eventually got hired by a Catholic school near my home where I was raised, and I accepted a fifth grade position there. And I thought I was settled. And then I get a call from another school. This one is in downtown Los Angeles, the inner city. And the principal asked me if I would come in for an interview. And I said, "Well, thank you very much, but I've already accepted a position at another school." And he said, "Well, you know, I've heard about you because some other principals have interviewed you and they gave your name to me. And I think you should come and see our school." And I said, "Well, okay, where are you located?" So he tells me the address. And I go to see this school and to meet this principal. And I'm on the 10 freeway going east, and I get off on Normandy. And as soon as I'm on Normandy, I'm saying, "Oh, this is not like my neighborhood." And I go, "Wow, this is a tough area, it looks like." And so I finally find the school, and I meet the principal, and he starts to welcome me and introduce me to some of the people there in the office, and some of the students that happen to be in the hallways. And then he starts to tell me about his school, and the children there, and the families there, and how the area is very dangerous. There's a lot of drugs in the area, a lot of gang problems, and that these children really need good teachers. And even though I didn't want to be a teacher, I thought, well, whatever I have to offer, maybe these children in this area of the city can use my help more than the ones by where I lived. So I declined the other school and told them I couldn't accept the position because I had accepted another position in downtown Los Angeles, which has made all the difference, really, in my life. It was my time working at St. Thomas the Apostle that the Lord revealed himself to me in a whole new way through the children there, through the faculty and staff, and through the parents, the hardworking, dedicated parents who were so adamant about having their children succeed in their education that God spoke to me and started to melt my bitter heart. So, keeping in mind, I accepted this position, and in the secret of my mind, I was saying it's only for 1 year, even though the principal might not know that. After a year, I'm leaving, because I didn't want to stay helping the church. But like I said, through God's grace, the children showed me another face of God. It was there that I realized that the church is not just an institution. The church are those children. The church are the parents of the children. The church are the principal and hard-working, dedicated teachers at that school. That's the church. So I learned a lot there. The kids got a wonderful education, not only from me, but the wonderful teachers that worked at St. Thomas, led by the direction of the wonderful principal they had, that we had. Many of the kids have that I had that I were in fourth grade, when I was teaching fourth grade there, they went through each grade level, eventually graduated from St. Thomas and went on to Catholic high schools, and many of them went on to Catholic universities or other public universities, universities like Brown, Back East, Yale, and of course different universities here in our own state of California. And a number of these students I still keep in contact with and have still visited me. Some were at my first Mass when I got ordained, and they were adults, and I felt very old, but nonetheless, I was very proud to see how God worked in their lives, and that the Lord really did answer my prayers, because after becoming a teacher and falling in love with these students and these children, I really prayed for them. I prayed that the Lord would watch over them and protect them, and he has certainly done that. St. Thomas was such a special school that prior to me getting there, St. Thomas the Apostle School was the first Catholic school in the United States to receive the National Blue Ribbon School of Excellence. And to get that recognition was not only wonderful for that school in the inner city, but for our diocese as well, to be able to claim that. And that wouldn't have happened without the hardworking principal and staff that that school had. But also, it wouldn't have been possible if people like you would not have given to Together in Mission. Because St. Thomas the Apostle School was able to keep open its doors through generous contributions to Together in Mission, that the parishes and schools throughout our archdiocese might otherwise not be able to function without it. St. Thomas the Apostle, I also credit for my own vocation to go back to the priesthood, to go back to study for the priesthood. It was after being there a number of years that I eventually became the vice principal, and after some time was asked to be the principal of St. Thomas School. And prior to that, I remember teaching the children or going over the readings with the children every day, the daily readings from the scriptures. And I remember reading them one passage, resurrection passage, the road to Emmaus, where the two disciples are leaving Jerusalem after Jesus' crucifixion, but Jesus had raised from the dead, but they hadn't known that yet. Jesus eventually appears to them and then disappears. And after he disappears, the two disciples say to one another, "Were not our hearts burning when he was with us and walked with us along the way?" And when I was reading that to the children and they were following along in their own Bibles, the Lord was saying that to me. "Randy, wasn't your heart burning when you were walking with me? When you were making use of the sacraments and you were in my church? Let the bitterness go, Randy. Let the bitterness go. Remember, these children are the church as well." And with that, the Lord began a great work in me. When I was going to take the principal position, the pastor of the church had reservations with me about taking that position. And so I wanted to know what that reservation was. I thought, what did I do wrong? Why wouldn't he want me to be the principal? So he came to my room one day after school, and I asked him what his reservation was. And he goes, "Well, Randy," he goes, "you know, I know you've had your issues with the church and all, but there's something about you that I think you still might have a vocation to the priesthood." And I would say, Father, no, not going to happen. He goes, "Well, I just thought I'd say it." And I asked him, "Why did you say that?" And he goes, "Well, because I could see how well you work with the children and the teachers and the parents really like you. And I don't know, I just think that you still might have a vocation." The thing is, there was a moving in my heart and a question in the back of my mind, should I go back? But at that time, we were in the midst of the church scandals. And I thought to myself, who's going to want to be a priest now? Forget it. Why would I want to go back now? And who else would want to go to be a priest? And every time I would say that, if I'd see something on the news, on television about the scandals, or I'd read something in the LA Times about the scandals, that's what would come into my heart, my thoughts. Who's going to want to be a priest now? And I would hear Jesus tell me gently, "You are. You're going back." And I didn't pray for a long time because I didn't want to hear that. So I even went to to show Jesus how I can't, Jesus, not because I don't want to anymore, but because I'm not holy enough. Mm-mm. And I'll just show you how unholy I am or how I can be. But the Lord was patient and shaking his head at me. I could just imagine saying, "Randy, whenever you're ready, I'm waiting. And the people of God are waiting. These children are waiting." And so eventually I told the pastor, "Father," I go, "I need to think about this. Let me discern this." So I took some time. Eventually, After some discernment and spiritual direction, I made a decision to go back. As crazy as it was to me, I made a decision to go back. And I stand before you as a Catholic priest, thinking that I would never be working for the Catholic Church. But it's been a blessing. It has truly been a blessing. And I was ordained with your associate pastor, Tim Klosterman, in 2008. And just after 3 years of being a priest, I was appointed as administrator to St. Gertrude the Great Parish. And they told me they wanted me to go there, the archdiocese told me, because they said it had a school that was suffering, that was, you know, low in enrollment, and they needed to get the enrollment up. And since I had some experience at St. Thomas, they wanted me to go to this place. And so, again, I had to pray about it, talk to some spiritual directors about it, and eventually accepted it. I said, well, okay, whatever I can do, I'll do. So I get there, and I'm thinking, okay, the school probably has about 240 students, and they want to get it up to 350. Maybe I can work with that. I have some good mentors that I can turn to help me with that. And I get there, and there's not 240, there's 46. 46 students, and a lot of angry parents. And those bitter feelings I had about the church kind of came back a little bit. I thought, what is the church setting me up for? Why would they do this to me? But eventually, through my trust in God and through my research about St. Gertrude, Monsignor mentioned I refer to her as the Great because she is. Before I went there, I wanted to know about this saint. Who is she? Who is this St. Gertrude? And as I studied about her, I realized she's the only woman saint in the Catholic Church that has the title the Great. But they don't give her that. They don't call her by that. We have no problem calling St. Albert the Great or St. Gregory the Great or St. Leo the Great, but this woman who was deeply spiritual has the title of the Great and we're not using it. I told her, I go, St. Gertrude, I will honor you by giving you that title that you have gotten and I will promote that among the parishioners and the students at St. Gertrude's School. If you please intercede for us. And she has. I have felt her intercession. And of course, I put myself and the entire community in God's hands. And God has indeed truly been answering our prayers so far. Now, in my own growing up years, in the parish that I grew up in, our parish never received Together in Mission funds. So we always would provide funds for Together in Mission. But the two places that I happen to be working at have received funds for Together in Mission. And that's where my experience of Together in Mission comes from. St. Gertrude the Great is a school that is still struggling to keep its doors open. We're increasing enrollment. In the 8 months, 7 months since I've been at St. Gertrude, me and the wonderful principal that works there with us have been able to get the enrollment up somewhat. So we went from 46, and 7 months later, we're at 100, and about 108, 110, something like that. So little by little, we're making some improvement. And if it's God's will and St. Gertrude the Great continues to intercede for us, I'm sure we'll get it up even larger and functioning well, even to the point of not needing to get Together in Mission funds where we can be self-sustaining, God willing. And so that's the story I want to share with you. I want to let you know this because I know sometimes when we donate to the church, we often wonder, where is our money going? And can I trust the church to use my money wisely? I guarantee that the funds we get from Together in Mission is being used very wisely. Your financial generosity has touched lives of children and people that you have not even met. You've touched my life. I never thought I would be a Catholic priest after how I used to feel about the church. And here I am now speaking before you. The children in their city, being surrounded by gang violence and drugs, might not have had the opportunity and the education they have if it hadn't been for Together in Mission. The students at St. Gertrude the Great are still going. Those doors were going to be closed last year. They remain open to this day because of the help we get from Together in Mission. I assure you that your generosity is going to a good cause. It's bringing light into the world. It's bringing light into people's lives who were remaining in darkness. And I pray that you, the good people of St. Monica's, and the rest of the wonderful people throughout our archdiocese will continue to trust and give to Together in Mission. It is a worthy cause, a very worthy cause. On behalf of the parents, teachers, and children of St. Thomas the Apostle School in inner city Los Angeles, on behalf of my own vocation to the Catholic priesthood, and now on behalf of the children and parents of St. Gertrude the Great School, I want to thank you for your past generosity. May God bless you and continue to bless you with the gift of stewardship and the gift of kindness and mercy that you have been showing in the past, and may allow you to do that for the rest of your lives. Thank you so much, and God bless you.